great news, reviews, commentary, not just another podcast.
Are the Ordinary the Big Ball Broadcast.
Now here comes your host, Kyle Abear. Oh, the world's team.
Welcome to the Big Ball Broadcast. This is episode 110, featuring all the geeky news you can use. We are part of thegeekmedia.com, talking about games, movies, tech, stuff in between that keeps us all in a perpetual state of social awkwardness. From the West Coast, this is Kyle Abear. I'm an anime and video game voice actor.
And your partially inebriated co-host from the East Coast of the world, Steve. I am a writer and a musician.
Coming up, we're going to talk about E3. That was the big old thing going down, that little shindig, that little video game conference sort of thing in Los Angeles. I lucked out and got to go to the shindig. It was awesome. So we're going to talk about all the various announcements from the big three companies and what games are we all looking forward to that got announced this year. I'll give you some feedback on some of the things that I got to get my hands on at the show. We also have the official comments from Funimation. They unfortunately had some anime episodes leaked early and got a lot of people mad, including the Japanese. We're going to find out what their comment is on that. And, of course, listener feedback and other randomness right here on the Big Ball Broadcast. So, wow. I mean, it's been a while since I've actually been on the show. What did I miss, Steve?
Everything. We had, like, the greatest shows ever in your absence.
Okay, that tells me something. Maybe I should retire and just let you guys take over.
I was thinking of retiring and just letting Mark go solo. It's like New Kids on the Block. He's the Justin Timberlake, just ready to break out.
Yeah, and meanwhile, we're like Lance Bass and Joey Fatone, just sitting there going, man, what do we do now?
Which one's the gay one?
Lance?
All right, you be Lance, I'll be Joey.
No. Bad. If you're new to the show, we're referencing our good friend Mark Swent, who is behind the scenes right now. He's our engineer and also a guest co-host whenever I'm not around to help do the show. So thank you, Mark, for running stuff from behind the scenes, behind the mic, and lining up our phone callers tonight who will be joining us as we discuss video games from E3. Also want to give a shout out to RSS Player. I know that sounds like a person. It's actually an app. Available now on the iPhone store. It's actually an app that lets you stream podcast live. It's an alternative to the iTunes podcast store. It's really cool. It's only 99 cents. A lot of fun here. Let me just go to their website here, and I'll plug it for you. rssplayer.blogspot.com. You can subscribe, manage, download all sorts of podcasts, including the one you're listening to right now. They added us to their RSS player search. So in return, I decided to do them a favor and give them a nice little plug there. So if you're an iPhone owner or an iPod Touch owner and you want an alternative to the podcast iTunes sort of way, I highly recommend RSS Player. It's a native iPhone podcast catcher. So you can listen to the Big Ball Broadcast. You can download or stream on the go, which is pretty darn awesome.
I didn't listen to a word you just said, but yeah, that's great. That's kick ass. That's balls out.
We also give them a shout out on our blog, as Mark just pointed out in our top secret chat room. But we have a public chat room here. We want to say hello to all the people who are listening to us live on StickCam, as we do, or at least try to, on Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. As of right now, we have 9 people just listening in the chat room. We've got Jeff, Kerbifer, Spasian, That Kid, Jake, Zero, Axe M. White, Combat, Grimory, Kiba Kesticles, Millionaire Fan, New Noob, Otherworld Steve. Oh, wait, you're my co-host. Phoenix Coyote, Saber Lady, Sequoia Bug, and the Lawmaster. And hopefully some more people will be joining us and to be able to chime in as we sit here and talk about all sorts of fun stuff right here on our shoe. So, all right. So I missed good stuff, right, Steve? You guys had like the best shows in the history of the Big Ball Broadcast.
In the history. And somebody commented a couple minutes ago that they were even longer. They were longer than even when you're around, and you're pretty long-winded.
No, I wanted to say you guys sound great together. You do a great show. I've been listening like on my long flights from LA to various parts of the country on these conventions. So I've amassed a few episodes and been listening to them. They sound great. So, and of course, thanks to all our listeners too, which our audience is growing. Thanks to us here on StickCam, on thebigballbroadcast.com, and hopefully some people will subscribe on their iPhones when they find us in the podcast directory on RSS Player. So check out rssplayer.blogspot.com. End of plug. Let's crack open, besides the beer that we're drinking and Crown, let's crack open the inbox over at mail@thebigballbroadcast.com. Airborne 203 says, hello, greetings and salutations, Kyle and Otherworld Steve. Thank you for your great work with the podcast. You guys rock. I was catching up on back issues of your cast. Wow, issues. Well, we got plenty of issues. In episode 104, a business model of micropayments was brought up and was mentioned that was big in Asia and if that would work here. I say yes! To support my opinion, I would point you to the games of Nexon. Their main programs are Maple Story, Mabinogi, and others. These games are free to play. Yes, I said free, but the way they make the money, yes, because it's all about the money, is micropayments. If you want to play it on the cheap, it is free. If you want a few bells and whistles, you pay for the items or services. Maple Story has been in the U.S. for 4 years and does not look like it's going away anytime soon. I do agree that it is a complete load of steaming awful that a game will be released and the content is on the disc and you have to pay to get that unlocked. I think that's double dipping and wrong. I really like your casts. Please keep up the good work. Now, I'll be honest here, Airborne. I have not tried Maple Story or any of the games of Nexon, but the whole micropayments thing, you know, you're seeing the whole shift in everything. We talk about the entertainment industry, particularly the anime industry, how the whole business model, distribution, it's all starting to change. We're also going to be talking about PSP, how it's doing away with the UMD disc with their new PSP model and how they're going with direct downloads instead. It's pretty interesting to watch the face of everything changing right now.
I think it's something... Mark and I spoke about at length a couple podcasts ago about the whole double dippery, because it's pretty shady. The extra content is generally on the disc, and then you pay to unlock something that's it's already there. That's really shady, and not the real Slim Shady. I do like digital download stuff, though. That's pretty cool. If you want to give me extra stuff, that's great. I hearken back to Soul Calibur 4 with the whole... Darth Vader exclusive and Yoda exclusive. We knew they were coming eventually, and I'm pretty sure it was the same thing there. We talked about Burnout Paradise City, same thing, unlockable cars that they're on the disc, preloaded. I mean, what can you do? You just kind of got to grin and bear it, or, you know, piss and moan, whatever way you feel is going to get the better results. I'm a big fan of piss and moan, because maybe, just maybe, one day the developers will listen to you.
Piss and moan, that sounds like a morning team on some radio station.
That'd be great names for us, piss and moan.
Piss and moan, although that's actually more appropriate for you and Mark, because you guys are the I'm like the nice guy, I'm the safe guy, and you guys are like anger, hate, rage. But anyway, if you have a microphone, especially, we like MP3 comments, so just record your comments, whether it's a review about something. Keep it 2 minutes or shorter, please. Or you want to give your opinion about something, or you want to report some news that you haven't heard us talk about, or you haven't seen reported on our Twitter page. Yes, the Big Ball Broadcast is on the Twitter, twitter.com/BB Broadcast. We stick up pretty much daily geek news links on there. So, I guess that ends the listener feedback. Let's move on to the next section, which we like to call Quick Hits. Whoa, dude. OMG. Okay. All right. Our first quick hit. Darth Maul is joining Heroes. Entertainment Weekly reports that Ray Park, yes, that's Star Wars Darth Maul, he's in talks to join the cast of NBC Heroes for a sizable story arc. That is pretty damn cool.
Shortest quick hit in the history of quick hits. Dragon Ball Evolution on DVD and Blu-ray on July 28th.
And you know why that's cool? I first said that I was not going to watch the movie. I still have not seen the movie, but I'm going to watch the movie because I'm going to San Japan in San Antonio, a little convention in August, and they want me to Mystery Science Theater that thing. So I think that may be interesting.
That's pretty badass, actually.
But I think I'm going to do it true Mystery Science Theater writing style, which means you watch the movie 6 times so you can come up with some good lines for it. Improv is a very harder than you might think art form. So granted, the movie is so awful, apparently, according to mass audiences, that maybe it doesn't need that sort of treatment. But I want to give some extra cheese entertainment value. So, I will probably be at least renting Dragon Ball Evolution to do my homework so that I can start doing that as a panel at conventions.
It gives it like unfair earnings at that point.
I know. Well, maybe I should download it off BitTorrent. Did I say that?
Bad pet, hey, bear.
Oh, I know. Let's move on to our next quick hit. Edward James Olmos. Yeah, Papa Adama from Battlestar Galactica, who's directed the upcoming DVD movie Battlestar Galactica, The Plan, told an audience of fans that the film will deliver exactly what they expect it to. The Plan shows the Cylons' perspective on their attempted genocide of humanity. Olmos says, I got to tell you, not to give anything away, it is exactly what you think it is. You see the complete opposite of the first 281 days of what we went through, seen through the eyes of the Cylons, and it is breathtaking. It's fantastic. It's not fun, but I will say, you will sit there gasping.
OMG!
James Cameron's new sci-fi epic Avatar, and no, that's no relation to The Last Airbender, is said to have a running time of over 2.5 hours, so prepare your butts for a numathon. Meanwhile, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince clocks in at a final runtime of 153 minutes.
Now, you expect James Cameron movies to be long. Harry Potter movie seems to be getting longer by each release. So, I don't know. I mean, seriously. I mean, but numathon, dude. If you're going to go out and see these films in IMAX and thing, and you're wondering, like, why is my butt falling asleep? Because these movies are getting longer. But you know what? Honestly, for what they charge for these movies nowadays, maybe you do need a 3-hour movie.
If it's interesting, I don't have a problem with that. There was a lot of criticism with King Kong for just being, you know, mind-numbing. And I don't know, I'm sorry. I kind of had a hard time with the Lord of the Rings trilogy. It just seemed like really drawn out. And I'm sorry for all the Lord of the Rings fans out there, but it was just too much. It was overwhelming for me. Yeah, as I've said, I have a hard enough time going to the theater for a 3-hour movie sitting in a sticky movie theater with people crinkling wrappers in my ear and coughing and sneezing and texting and talking on the phone. It should be more episodic. I can go in for like 20 minutes at a time, like watching a TV show.
Machi Valentine in our chat room says, I hate when you go to the movie at like 5 p.m. and get out at 8 p.m. and it turns from day to night. It's weird. Well, I just hate the discrepancy in price. You know, maybe you can get that Twilight price right before 6 o'clock at most theater chains, and then it goes up to like, well, at least in L.A., it's like $10.50, $11.50 to see a friggin' movie. That's not even IMAX.
I haven't even checked out anything in IMAX in, like, forever.
It is crazy to go nuts. Speaking of long movies, 2 hours and 24 minutes is the running time for Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. You can now go to movietickets.com, MoviePhone, and or Fandango to pre-order your tickets for Michael Bay's Robot Porn Fest. Unfortunately, the porn doesn't involve Megan Fox. But anyway, yes, that movie opens midnight on June 24th. Will play in both regular theaters and IMAX theaters. Rated PG-13 for intense sequences of sci-fi action, violence, language, some crude and sexual material, and brief drug use. Really? Brief drug use? Transformers? I want to see Optimus get high.
There you go. That'd be great. Yeah, I'm Optimus Prime.
Whoa, dude. Oh, I'm getting the munchies, Sam.
Here comes Megabong.
Yeah, they'll have a Transformer named Bong in the next one. Anyway, you're listening to the Big Ball Broadcast. When we come back, we got tons of stuff to talk about, mainly E3 stuff. So stay tuned to the Big Ball Broadcast.
She's calm.
There are a couple of other things I just tell you and I remember.
He's crazy.
If you could not see the similarities in the personalities within like the first couple of episodes, you need brain surgery. I mean, seriously.
Can two people get together and record a podcast without driving each other crazy?
Slap.
Oh, you don't have to hit me so hard.
It wasn't that hard.
Find out on Anime Jam Sessions with your host, DJ Ranma S. and Kudo Usagi. Log on to djranmas.net/animejam or look up Anime Jam Sessions on iTunes.
Order! Order, I say! We'll never get anywhere if you all keep talking out of turn!
But, sir, all we want to know is where to go to hear our favorite animation voice actors talk about their careers!
Yeah, that's right! And for them to give us budding voice performers advice on how to get into the business.
Darn right, Mr. Meyer! We all just love them cartoons so god darn much! We all go to conventions and listen to them voice actors talk! We can't wait to hear them talk about working in the business!
All right, all right! You all know that VoicePrint with Trevor Duvall and guests is the place to go to hear some of animation's hottest voice actors talk about the business. If they were a voice in it, they'll discuss it. Anime, pre-love, play, video games, any and all voice work they do is up for discussion.
This voice print with Trevor DeVal and guests, how do we download it, huh?
That's the easy part. Just go to www.trevordeval.com. You'll find all the latest episodes there.
Ivan, what if we want to subscribe to it?
Voice print with Trevor DeVal and guests is located on iTunes and Podcast Alley. It's really very simple, people. It's like he's bringing the convention to your iPod. Look, don't make me come down there and use this gavel.
Voice print with Trevor DeVal and guests, an internet talk show starring some of animation's biggest voice actors. Go to www.trevordeval.com or subscribe on iTunes or Podcast Alley.
You've heard him on the Big Ball Broadcast. You've heard him on anime and video games. You've seen his video blog on YouTube. Now you can catch Kyle TV streaming live on Stickam. Join his webcam chat. Ask questions about voice acting. Have him do a voice or two. Mingle in the chat room with other cool fans. Kyle TV is live streaming on Stickam. When? Well, whenever the hell he wants. Usually on weeknights. Follow Kyle on Twitter at twitter.com/KyleHebert or friend him on Facebook and stay tuned to his status updates for the next exciting live streaming episode of Kyle TV on Stickam.com.
Yo, Steve Bloom here, and you're listening to the Big Bald Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Big Ball Broadcast, episode 110 with Kyle Hebert and Otherworld Steve. We are streaming live on Stickam each and every Friday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific at thebigballbroadcast.com, our official website, where you can find this and all previous and later episodes, whatever you want to do, right? And remember, you can subscribe via iTunes, or you can also use an alternative method if you are an iPhone or iPod Touch user. Go to the Apple App Store and download for a mere 99 cents RSS player. Awesome, awesome little app for yous. So, we're going to talk about E3. First thing I got to say about E3 is I friggin' got to go. So I got to give special thanks to Avi Melman from CyberGraphics Animation. Avi Melman used to host a voice actor interview podcast. He has been too busy to continue with it, unfortunately. But he was able at the last minute to pull some strings and get me a badge, so I'm super duper lucky. If you follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/KyleHebert, I was updating from the convention with tons of pictures of stuff that I saw, and I commented about some video games that I played. But let's see, first things first, let's just talk about some of the big announcements that we have seen from the big three. Sony, of course, the big thing is a brand spanking new PSP. It's called the PSP Go. Features a 3.8-inch LCD screen, a sliding control pad. This is awfully, awfully cool. If you've seen some videos online, that's actually how you power it on. You just slide it up, and the controls are on the underneath there. It's got a 16 gig internal flash storage, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, a M2 memory stick micro port. There's no second analog stick, as was previously rumored to be, and there's no UMD drive. Sony finally got the hint that UMDs just aren't a popular property. Also, there will be available in black and white models. It has an application called Sense Me to allow you to play back music based on your mood. Wackiness. The physical features, 50% smaller than the original PSP, 40% lighter than the original PSP. I actually got hands-on time with the PSP Go at E3, and I can say it's pretty darn small and very, very light. It's actually about the size of an iPhone lengthwise, and the controls are very, very responsive. It's a cool little thing. Now, all PSP titles are going from here on forward are going to be digitally distributed through the PS Store, but also on UMD. For the regular PSP owners, so the regular PSP owners aren't going to be like left in the dark or anything. There will also be a video delivery service offering more than 9,400 TV shows from Showtime, Anime Network, Manga Entertainment, UFC, HDNet, E, G4, Magnolia, plus 1,900 movies. Now on the PC, there'll be an application called Media Go, which will access the PC, the PS Store. That's pretty much be like an iTunes store sort of thing. So how much is the PSP Go going to cost you? $249. And if you're in Europe, €249. Launch date is set for October 1st in Europe and North America, November 1st for Japan. Now, one of the biggest hurdles, of course, for PSP owners is that upgrade. It's like, all right, if you're not going to use UMDs, what do we do with these things? Sony is apparently hard at work on a solution for this. They said they want to have some sort of trade-in program, perhaps for people who previously purchased UMD titles and want to exchange them for digital versions. Now, they're currently hammering out the details, but as soon as they have a solid plan in place, they will make an announcement. Very cool indeed. What do you think about that, Steve? PSP Go, the UMD thing, is it a wise thing? Is it too little, too late, or is this a step in the right direction?
I think it's a step in the right direction. I actually really applaud Sony for taking that step, especially to the heels of what we talked about earlier with the digital delivery for content, be it either demos or rentals or permanent downloads. I think it's great. Ditching the UMD, yeah, I mean, about 2 years too late, but you know, I'm glad they finally took that step. The thing that kind of surprised me was Sony being very transparent, saying, yeah, you know, we're not getting rid of the UMD PS3, we're going to keep it on shelves. I'm pretty sure they're going to keep it on store shelves straight through the holiday season. And I think the only reason they're doing that is to try to move some of the UMDs that are still, you know, gathering dust on the shelves. But it's pretty wild, you know. It's like when the Xbox 360 came out, how many people were running out and still buying original Xbox games? You get the latest and greatest out, why not pick that up? I understand there's a substantial price point difference. If you're going to have the older PSP on shelves, may see a price cut. I believe, what's this PSP going for? Like $249? That's kind of ridiculous for a handheld gaming system, especially when you're competing against the Nintendo DSi, which, you know, like the DS is just selling like hotcakes, so to speak. So, I don't know. Sony's just had a kind of messed up marketing plan from Go with their portable system. So, I don't expect them to rectify that anytime soon. But it is a step in the right direction.
Yeah, it's nice because even though I haven't touched my PSP ever since I got the iPhone, and of course a new iPhone is probably coming out this summer, I don't know how motivated I'm going to be to pick up a PSP Go. I like the idea of digital downloads. I like being able to streamline my portable collection and everything, to be able to just maybe have one little unit that I could just fire stuff up on, like on a memory card, right? You know, 16 gigs, you're thinking, okay, that's not a lot of space, but, you know, it's enough. You can buy a bigger one. That's internal memory right there. Of course, you could buy more memory cards and go from there. I don't know. I mean, it felt really good. It's very, very light. You know, it does speak to the gaming audience who aren't really into the whole mobile gaming thing in terms of like an iPhone or an Android phone yet. But it's pretty darn sexy. You know, the whole slider aspect of it, I like. It's pretty slick, gotta say. Another thing from Sony is the PS3 motion controller, which of course is a logical extension to the one-to-one tracking capabilities of the PS2 iToy, which only worked in 2D. So the motion controller for PS3 goes a step further by offering 3D tracking of two wand controllers, still using an iCam to perform the tracking. So that should be, pretty cool, pretty nice. Any thoughts on the motion controller?
Well, my biggest concern, and, you know, anybody who's had a Wii for a while, I think shares this concern, how much of it is a novelty act at this point? You know, how much of it, ooh, look what we can do, and woohoo, and is it really going to pan out? Is it going to bring a level of interactivity and depth to the games? Or, you know, you also got that problem, too, with the new Wiimote that came out, where it's not compatible with the older games. It's kind of ridiculous, because we're always stuck in that conundrum. You're going to release a new peripheral and go, oh, yeah, you know, this is really great and all that shit, but it's not compatible with any of your library, and that just sucks balls. So, but, like, you know, I think also about when Sony released the PS3 and the whole six-axis controller thing, and, I mean, what did that really do for them? They gave that up for Rumble in the later iterations, so I don't know. To me, it sounds like a lot of smoke and mirrors. I just want that depth of gameplay and pretty cool graphics. And I don't know. Call me old school. I'm used to playing with a controller in my hand and having that regular tactile response. I don't want to be flailing around and trying to be responsive for this motion crap.
Yeah, same here. It seems like Sony's just trying to echo because it's worked so well for Nintendo. And they're thinking that, oh, and maybe we have a shot. You know, we can totally tap into the audience. Like, one of the downloadable games from the PS Store on the PS3 is this bowling game where you actually have to hold the PS3 controller like a Wiimote, and you just do the whole arc of your arm like you're bowling and everything. It's like, that's fine, but, you know, Nintendo did it first, and they do it better.
Well, do they? I mean, you know, it seems Nintendo's catching quite a lot of backlash lately from the blogosphere, where, everybody and their grandmother literally owns a Wii right now, but the library is still really weak, and it still doesn't come off as a gaming console. I mean, while I do appreciate introducing casual gaming to the casual gamers, it just kind of lacks that depth. You know, and of course, Nintendo's always going to be saddled with the kiddie gaming thing going on there. There's so much more I think Nintendo could have brought to the plate instead of the tricky, gimmicky Wiimote. And I don't know about you, Kyle, but I prefer to use either a classic controller or the GameCube controller when I play a lot of the Wii games when applicable. Although I am pretty excited about Wii Sports 2, whatever it's called. That, I think, really uses the Wiimote in a good way. But all these games, like the new Mario game coming out and stuff, I have to sit down with a classic controller and play them. I don't know, maybe I was too old to be flailing about.
Yeah, I had some hands-on time with Super Mario Wii, and it was fun. It was a lot of fun. But you had to play with the Wiimote, of course. But you had to hold it sideways and use it like a classic controller. I mean, yeah, occasionally you could shake it or whatever to get your character to do different stuff. But, you know, there's still no online play for it. I, like you, just like using a standard controller. I mean, maybe I'm just too old school. It's like, you old-timers, can't believe you like doing that. But, yeah, Wii Sports, perfect implementation of the Wiimote. And, you know, now you've got this whole new Wii Fit Plus coming out, because Wii Fit was such a huge, huge hit. And that one blew me away, too. You know, Wii Fit, I thought for sure that would just sit on shelves collecting dust. And like, who the hell wants to exercise? Who wants an exercise video game? But man, was I wrong.
You know, I got to say, When they first announced it over in Japan, you and I spent a good deal of time just bashing the shit out of it. We thought it was a real hokey thing. And particularly us in America, with the legendary stereotype of us all being morbidly obese, I was like, well, this thing is just going to break the second you step on it. But I have one. I actually have a Wii Fit board. And it's pretty damn interesting, especially with the disc that it comes with, doing the ski slalom and the ski jumps and stuff. They really packaged and presented it in a way I didn't anticipate. And you don't feel like a fat ass playing that game. It's something anybody can just go ahead and do, and it's very natural body movement. It's not anywhere near as awkward as using the Wiimote. So, I guess I got to kind of take that back. That is pretty interesting. But, you know, there's always the big hairy butt and the big ball broadcast. But what more are you going to bring to the plate for it? Is this a one-trick pony where you gave us a halfway decent interactive thing to do with it, and that's going to be about it? Or, you know, are they going to start bringing some big titles to the plate using this peripheral, you know, some Mario games or a Zelda game, perhaps? And it's going to be a wait and see. I don't think anything really groundbreaking came out of E3 regarding that, so maybe closer to the holiday season.
Yeah, I mean, you got Super Mario Galaxy 2, and then, you know, Super Mario Wii, and like Golden Sun and some stuff for DS and all that. And of course, Wii Fit Plus, which includes like, it's got like six more strength and yoga exercises I'm reading here. New balance games, including skateboarding, juggling, and kung fu. Ooh, ah. Let's see, there's a virtual, a vitality sensor for the Wii, which kind of looks like a hospital pulse detector. This device supposedly does more than just determine your pulse. It actually senses how nervous you are. I don't really know what good that's going to do, but okay. So you got the bigwig over at Nintendo, Satoru Iwata, who says, the Wii is going to be sticking around for a long time. He says, quote, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, or 8 years from now, before we see another Nintendo system. That's a pretty long time to go without some cutting edge technology. That's no HD. You know, obviously Iwata wants HD in there, but I guess he's thinking not so much right now. So, you know, and Nintendo users are kind of stuck with what is for a definite long amount of time.
Well, I have to say, I don't think that's the make it or break it. You and I have discussed numerous times with portable gaming coming to the cell phone networks, with the DSi doing really well. Hopefully the PSP Go will do halfway well. They're not HD graphics. They're scaled down for a smaller screen. I think it all really comes down to that gameplay. I think it really comes down to what's going to be immersive for the player, be it casual or hardcore. I really don't think it matters if you're pushing the HD graphics and the surround sound and all that stuff. You give me a decent game to play, and I'll play it. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. When I feel that the current gen market's feeling a little weak, I have no problems pulling up my PS2. So I just want to be immersed in a game that's relatively meaningful, or some of this is going to piss away some time and I'm going to have a smile on my face. The graphics aren't the be-all and all. And Nintendo, I think, knows that. Nintendo knows that you got to get the good games out there. So I don't really care if they don't have a system that comes out for the next decade. Just give me some really meaningful games to play.
Okay, Mark, let's get Shannon on the line. We've got a caller, Shannon, who wants to talk about Wii Fit. Hello, Shannon. Where are you calling from?
I am calling from Phoenix, Arizona.
All right, Shannon in Phoenix. You wanted to talk to us about this whole Wii Fit thing. Do you actually have the game? Is it all that?
It is all that in a bag of chips, and it is mean as all hell. First, you got your little meat character, right? Well, I'm not afraid to tell everybody. I'm only 5'4", and I weigh in at 200 pounds. What it does is it takes your really tall meat, and it shrinks it and makes it fat.
So it makes you really, really self-conscious.
Yes!
How much did this thing cost?
$100.
My God, is $100 worth it for a game like that?
It's interesting laughs, so I would say yes.
Ah, okay. All right. Now, at E3, they announced Wii Fit Plus, an updated version that's got, you know, a few more exercises here and there. I don't know if it's going to be $100, but would you drop another $100 on the sequel game?
No, but I'm pretty sure Sean would because it's his system. So we're okay. I don't really care.
All right. So you just have like a friend who's going to actually do the buying of the game and you just go get the benefit of playing it.
Exactly, on 60 plus inches of beautifulness.
Oh, he's got to be HD. Well, it doesn't matter HD because
it is HD.
Well, the Wii is not HD, so it doesn't matter. My next question for you, Shannon. I gotta know. Do you are you into the Wiimote thing? Is it too? Is it a novelty thing? Do you prefer a real controller, or is it where it's at?
I prefer a real controller. That's stupid.
Yeah, because, you know, we've been raised that way. You know, Steve and I are children of the 70s, starting with Atari 2600. It's like, you didn't have the technology to do a Wiimote back then, obviously. So, you know, we start with a joystick with one friggin' button on it. And now look where we are. We're with wireless controllers with, you know, left bumper, right bumper, left trigger, right trigger, this, that, and the other. It slices, it dices, it circumcises. And then you get the Wiimote, which people, you know, started flinging into their TVs and causing mass hysteria, dogs and cats living together, you know, lots of injuries left and right. Oh, man. Okay, so are there any other games that you are looking forward to on either Nintendo Wii or any other systems that you happen to own?
The old school Mario that you sent the caption on, that looked really interesting because I love freaking Mario.
Yeah, you know, when in doubt, go with the old school stuff. The whole Super Mario vibe is just great. I played with like three other dudes on the game and it just plays just as wonderfully and streamlined as all the old stuff. So I think it's going to be another, you know, 8 billion selling game. It doesn't make me prefer the Wii any more than the other consoles, though. I'm still mainly an Xbox sort of guy. My PS3 is still mainly a Blu-ray player. The Wii thing is like, all right, I'll dust it off and I'll play Wii Sports once in a blue moon, basically. That's it.
Yeah, I don't remember where my Nintendo DS is in the house. It's somewhere around here, so yeah. But that was about the only game I was looking forward to when I saw that.
Well, cool. You want to give any shout-outs before we wrap up the phone call?
Yeah, show my drawings. Talk about my drawings.
Talk about your drawings on our audio podcast.
Cool.
Not holy shit, Otherworld Steve's band Primitive the Void freaking totally rocks.
No, because Otherworld Steve forgot to mail out my CD a week ago.
Hey, I said the band rocks. I didn't say I did.
Epic fail.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you could plug, don't you have a DeviantArt page?
Do I? Yes, I do. It's galarnosgems.deviantart. Very long last name, so you could probably find it on my MySpace or Facebook.
I see.
Or we could plug Miniskirt Army. There you go. I run the website, www.miniskirtarmy.org.
Oh, my God. You run Travis Willingham's fan club?
Yes, I do.
Oh, my God.
And you admit it to dozens of people?
I do.
So, all right, quick question. Is Travis as interactive with his fan club as Vic Mignogna is?
I'm not allowed to drop F-bombs, but, man, I tell you what, I wish I could track that little boy down.
He's a busy guy.
Yeah, I mean, if I kind of swung that way, it would be Justin Cook first and then Travis a very close second.
Now we're getting all geeky with voice actor talk here. But
no, OMG. He is not interactive with us. We solely depend upon ourselves. So we're pretty successful for not having our figurehead around.
Wow. All right. Well, Travis, if you happen to be listening to this podcast, talk to your fans. They love you. They heart you.
Get your head out of your ass, Travis.
I know where you live, dude.
Travis, seriously, man, stop being a douche. Come on.
Travis, stop being a working actor.
Yeah, seriously. Talk to Shannon before she has to track you down again.
All right. Shannon, thank you very much for calling in. All right, cool. Let's move on. We've got another caller who wants to chime in as we talk about this stuff here. Let's welcome Bobcat Extreme from the chat room. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Name's Bobcat Extreme, calling from Redwood Falls, Minnesota.
Okay, cool. So we're talking about video games from E3, and we just covered Nintendo. What did you want to talk about?
Well, I really want to talk about more from Nintendo since, you know, I really don't own any other system. That's 8th generation.
So what's the first gaming system you had?
I played the Super Nintendo when I first got into video games, basically. Well, I like to think of myself as the 16-bit kid since I grew up with of course I had the 8-bit Nintendo in the house, but I usually played a Super Nintendo or the Sega Genesis.
Cool. So now we're with the Nintendo Wii. We got all these new announcements. What game in particular are you just salivating over?
Super Mario Brothers Wii.
Ah, okay. Well, I can tell you, dude, I played for 10 minutes on that thing because that's what they limited all the players to. And it is every bit as good as you think it should be. It works really, really well with the Wiimote because you hold it sideways like an NES controller. And it works great. It's very, very responsive. And of course, as usual, I suck at it. But everyone else was doing good, so I didn't get to see too much of it because, you know, you're on this big virtual playground at E3 with all these big HD monitors and all the different things, and, you know, it's a trade show. It's not really open to the public, but you have all of these people representing the video game industry, and they're all trying this stuff, and the Nintendo just took up a huge part of one of the halls. There were two giant halls there.
I've never been to anywhere like that before, but if I ever step foot in that, it's like, oh my God, I just died and went to heaven. Electronic digital heaven.
Yeah, that kid Jake in our chat room says, Kyle, you must never play as Sonic or you will spread your suckage. Well, you know, it could happen. Anything could happen. I mean, we've got Kratos from God of War in Soul Calibur for the PSP. Who saw that coming?
Yeah, to be honest, I actually saw it coming.
I didn't even know that Soul Calibur was being ported over to the PSP. All right, well, Bobcat, looking forward to the Super Mario. Yeah, I definitely give it a thumbs up. And while we did talk about Soul Calibur PSP, just brought that up too, I got to play hands-on with that as well. If you have a PSP, you're definitely going to want to get Soul Calibur for that because it is a perfect, perfect port. Well, we got to get going because we got more content to go. But Bobcat Extreme, thank you so much for calling into the show and listening to the BBB.
Thank you for even being the reason why BBB exists. It's awesome.
Awesome. Awesome sauce. Let's move on to some of the other wacky news we have here. Let's talk about Xbox 360 getting Twitter, Facebook, Last.fm integration. That's pretty darn cool there. Plus a 1080p Zune marketplace. It's launching this fall. Now you'll be able to view friends, photos, and all sorts of Facebook profiles on the dashboard. You'll be able to post status updates, a Facebook Connect feature that will allow you to post screenshots to your profile. And that's going to be working with Tiger Woods PGA Tour and other games too. Last.fm, which is a streaming music service that's going to be able to integrate too. That's got over 30 million listeners worldwide. It's very well established. And it's going to have a special interface options on Xbox Live. The Zune Marketplace will be the new branding for the video store. So you'll be able to get full 1080p movies downloadable. Now, game-wise for the Xbox, you can look forward to such new things as Gears of War Dark Corners, Halo Reach, Halo ODST, Left 4 Dead 2, Final Fantasy 13, The Beatles Rock Band, Tony Hawk Ride. I'm sure Steve is going to be buying that one for sure. and the list just goes on. Crackdown 2, Alan Wake, Modern Warfare 2. That's got a big buzz about it. Which one of that list there are you most looking forward to, Steve?
Well, it's not so much the list. It's what they're bringing. I mean, everything you just mentioned, the first half of what you mentioned, anyway, is what Sony promised us with the PS3, where, you know, this is going to be your entertainment system. This is, like, the only device you're going to need on your entertainment center next to your TV for all your entertainment needs. Yeah, they certainly didn't live up to that hype. And here comes Microsoft saying, you know, we're going to give you this, we're going to give you that. You know, 1080p movies and different interactivity with Facebook and all the other social media sites. That's pretty badass. As far as the games, I recently just got back into playing a little bit now that I have some downtime. And I'd say most of them. I don't know about the Hawk series. Hawk's franchise is getting a little overplayed. But there's quite a few on that list that I could hopefully check out in the near future.
I got to get hands on. I had to wait like half an hour, but Left 4 Dead 2, because the first one is one of the most addictive games I've ever played, and I still to this day love it. If you like zombie shooters, Left 4 Dead is a must have. But now it's already got the sequel, a release date of November 17th, set in New Orleans with a whole new cast of survivors. It was me along with three other people, and we comprised the four survivors in this new setting and the new game, and it was intense. I mean, obviously, any fan of Left 4 Dead 1 is going to want to get their hands on this. Beautiful, smooth graphic, smooth, you know, 60 frame per second, just beautiful, gory, and intense. I can't recommend that game enough already. I just feel lucky that I got to play some Left 4 Dead. Another big announcement from Microsoft is, of course, is this Project Natal thing. It's a revolutionary new way to play. I'm quoting from Xbox.com here. It says, no controller required. See a ball? Kick it, hit it, trap it, or catch it. If you know how to move your hands, shake your hips, or speak, you and your friends can jump into the fun. The only experience needed is life experience. So you got people like Steven Spielberg saying, quote, this is a pivotal moment that will carry with it a wave of change, the ripples of which will reach far beyond video games. So is this really like the next big thing? Does Xbox just have something to just trump even Nintendo now?
I guess what we learned from this year's E3 is Xbox owns. And again, I shouldn't find it surprising, but I do. You really think, you know, Nintendo's been around a long time and they pretty much owned of all of last year's E3. And Sony, you know, this big powerhouse company that's supposed to come at us with something, you know, hard and furious. Here goes Microsoft saying, you know, we're going to do it. We're going to do it right. We're going to do it experimental. We're going to do it with very high profile backing. So I think it's, you know, again, been made very, very clear that they really walked away with the blue ribbon from this E3.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's pretty wild. You know, they've already established themselves as the premier online gaming experience. And all of these things, just taking things and amping it up with the social networking, like you were saying, it's like, dude, this is pretty friggin' awesome. And you never thought back in the day, remember when it's, oh, Microsoft bringing a game console, it'll never work. Now everyone is just like eating crow over this now, you know?
And that's what's really interesting about the quote-unquote console war. Nintendo's winning a war they're not fighting. They said, we're not next-gen. We're not part of the console war. People either want to buy it because they want to check it out or not. You know, as we talked earlier, not supporting the HD graphics or anything. So, you know, what are we left with? Left with Sony and Microsoft. And again, it's got to be that installed user base with Xbox Live. A real, real diehard, almost cultish Apple type following going on with the Xbox, and I guess it's kind of refreshing to see. But the thing that I've been saying for a while now that is getting frustrating is Sony needs to really step up their game. The only way we're going to see like really big advancement and people pushing it to the next gen level is to there to be actual competition. And Microsoft is so far ahead of Sony's charge right now. It's going to be years, maybe even the next iteration of these next gen console systems before we start seeing both companies really start to push that envelope.
Abso-friggin-lutely. All right, let's get Curb on the line. Got another caller lined up here. Hello, who have we here?
This is Chris Niosi, a.k.a. Curbifer from Long Island, New York, on the Big BB.
Awesome, dude. Welcome. I know you're a longtime listener. We've read your feedback, played your MP3 comments before. Thanks for, first of all, listening to the show for so long and calling in tonight on our E3 chat. So what would you like to talk about tonight?
Well, actually, you know, it's funny because E3 has been kind of like this this legendary thing to me. I've always known what it was for years, but I've never really been involved with it in any sort of full-fledged way. And this last Tuesday was Tuesday was when Nintendo had their press conference. And I just happened to catch it. Somebody on Twitter told me about it. I'm like, oh, you know what? Why not? I've never seen a full-fledged E3 press conference. And I really enjoyed it. It was very cool to see them showing it off like something a little bit more professional than a typical convention I would ever go to, obviously, which is why they close it off to they don't let everybody come in, obviously, which I think works. I think that's fair enough for what it's supposed to be. And this is probably going to suck because I'm probably going to reiterate a lot of what Shannon and Bob were talking about, but a lot of the Nintendo stuff I'm pretty excited for, I would say.
Okay, cool. Any titles in particular?
Super Mario Galaxy 2, actually.
Okay, cool. I don't think that was playable at E3. I know it was definitely mentioned, though. I got my hands on as you may have heard already, Super Mario Brothers Wii. But the Galaxy game is a lot of fun, although I always had a problem that I never read anyone else complaining about, that when he's walking around those little globes, those little planets, that it's kind of disorienting.
You know, it's interesting. The reason I'm so excited about Galaxy 2, like I was excited for Galaxy 1 when it first came out, is because it's built across an engine that was created years ago called Super Mario 128, which was originally it was a joking title for, oh, what if we do Mario 64 2? It'll be like 64 times 2 is 128. We'll do Super Mario 128. Ha, Miyamoto, I'm so funny. And they built this engine with Mario on sort of a globular surface like the planets in Galaxy. And that's what that game is essentially built around. And what I liked so much about Galaxy was that it felt like an art piece in the form of a video game, to me anyway. A lot of people thought it was forgettable. I don't really know why exactly, but I thought it was just very beautiful. The level designs and everything were really interesting and intriguing. I love the new power-ups and abilities. I don't know if you saw a while ago, I was joking about there's a drill Mario now where he doesn't even have a suit. He just carries a big drill above his head and burrows into the ground like something out of Gurren Lagann or some shit. But yeah, I don't know. I think I mentioned some other chat. I'm actually working on a game right now, and that's generally why I play a lot of video games these days, is because I really enjoy the artistic and creative side of things as opposed to game. Well, not to say that gameplay isn't important, but like I don't really care a whole lot about the multiplayer scene or tournaments or things like that. And that's probably why I enjoy games more like Galaxy, where it's just a straightforward adventure with a story or not, or just, you know, something neat. So.
Oh, okay. All right. We got Lawmaster in our chat room who says, hey, guys, talk about Assassin's Creed 2. I've never played Assassin's Creed 1. Have you?
No, I was not big into, all I heard about Assassin's Creed was people joking about the producer, I think it was, Jade Raymond, which, I feel horrible for her because good Lord, she suffered through so much with that. But no, Assassin's Creed was one I missed the boat on.
Ah, okay. You know, same here. I read the reviews and they said, you know, first of all, the PS3 version was buggy. The Xbox version, beautiful game. But, you know, there's a lot of just sneaking around and eavesdropping and listening to people's conversations. And it's like, to me, that sounds like that would get really old. That's why I never really got into Metal Gear Solid, because it's all about stealth. I like instant gratification. I like heat of the battle. It's like, you know, shit is like firing at me left and right. I got to shoot. And it's like, instead of sneaking around and all that. And I realize that's an entirely different game dynamic, and some people prefer that. Although for me, Assassin's Creed, as pretty as it is, looks like, okay, well, all I want to do is just jump from the highest tower and just plummet to my death or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's like saying when you play Grand Theft Auto, you don't want to drive around the city for 4 hours, you know, killing hookers in the most deplorable ways. So, you know, that's what you get from a relatively sandbox game. You get to go out and do that stuff. And like I said, I picked up a PS3 exclusive in a similar vein, and hopefully we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Now, I did not get to go in and play any of Assassin's Creed 2. I wanted to, just because a lot of people were going, oh, you got to get your hands on it. And it's like, I've seen the trailer, the cutscenes movie is just like jaw-droppingly gorgeous. But they would not let me in. I did not have the right credentials. I guess I wasn't press, technically. So did not get to go in there, but there was a beautiful mural image, billboard image on the front of the LA Convention Center. It's friggin' huge, with the main character's arms outstretched in like a crucifix form, you know, showing these knives from coming ejecting from his wrists. And it's just an incredible image. It's like it makes me interested. But again, you know, the sneaking around thing, it's just not my bag.
But real quick before I forget, I think, Steve, you made this point before about the Wii lasting for, or both of you guys mentioned this, about the Wii lasting for another 5 years or so. And you think that it's not going to stand up for that long and whatnot? It was something like that?
The head Nintendo guy said it could the Wii could be lasting another 3 years, 5 years, or even 8 years.
Yeah, and I said it could last another decade as long as they're putting out quality immersive games and not flail your arm around and play Russian roulette with your nice LCD screen TV.
Yeah, I remember, I was surprised actually, just remembered this a little while ago, and I'm surprised they didn't mention this at the con, but I remember there was talk about a Wii 2 where basically it wouldn't even literally be a new Nintendo system, but just an upgraded version of the Wii with the same graphical capabilities as the 360 and the PS3. And I mean, I think that with stuff like that and some of the new things they were introducing at this press conference, I think that with that, yeah, it's true. It could last for another decade in itself. So, but yeah, I mean, because I remember years ago, I don't know if you guys ever read Nintendo Power back in the day, the magazine, but I remember there was a contest about kids creating their own next generation Nintendo system. There was something, this kid from CalArts or something made like a ring you put around your head where like you're literally in a virtual world and you can just move your head around and be in it and whatnot. I think until they can come up with something like that, I think the Wii itself is pretty revolutionary to where it can last for that long and they can just add whatever other things like the, you know, the Wii Motion Plus and the Vitality thing or whatever little trinkets they feel like. And I think it could do pretty well for itself. So,
all right, very cool. Well, Mr. Niosi, thank you much for chiming in with your thoughts on all of this stuff. We're going to let you go for now. We're also going to take a really quick commercial break. When we come back, I'll give you my thoughts on some of the other games that I had some hands-on time with at E3. And you guys can continue to chime in our chat room. Remember, if you guys want to experience the live version of the Big Ball broadcast, we do it each and every Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, except some weekends. There's occasionally something else going on. But in general, just stay tuned into our official website, thebigballbroadcast.com. So stay tuned. More Triple B on the way. Hey guys, Kyle here. First of all, thanks for listening to the Big Ball Broadcast. Second of all, I'm here to be a complete and total whore. Not in that way, get your mind out of the gutter. Now, check this out. I'm actually nominated for an award. Yeah, the guys and gals at the Society for the Promotion of Japanese Animation listed me as one of the nominees for Best English Voice Actor for my performance as Kamina in Gurren Lagann. I'm up against some really stiff competition, too. Dave Wittenberg, who plays Kakashi in Naruto, and Samuel L. Jackson, who voices Afro Samurai. The SPJA Awards are going to take place at Anime Expo in Los Angeles on July 2nd. But here's the cool thing. They're letting the fans get involved. You can place your votes amongst 23 categories. Now, I know there's no way in hell I'm going to win against either Dave Wittenberg or especially Samuel L. Jackson. But hey, as they say, it's an honor enough just to be nominated. And believe me, I am on cloud nine about this. But if you like my dub performance as Kamina in Gurren Lagann, I sure could use your vote. Just visit anime-expo.org and look for the link for the SPJA Industry Awards, the Society for the Promotion of Japanese Animation. Thanks for your vote for giving some love to the dub. Visit anime-expo.org.
In a world where a corrupt government reigns over an entire planet, there stands hope in a band of pirates. We are the ones that cover their adventures. Join the unofficial One Piece podcast every Sunday night as we recount their journey from the beginning and bring you up to date on their latest encounters. On Skype at One Piece Podcast, by email at onepiecepodcast@gmail.com, on YouTube and on iTunes. Join us each week as we break the series down for you and let you weigh in on everything One Piece. We are Maji.
Yo, Steve Bloom here, and you're listening to the Big Bald Broadcast.
Booyah! Welcome back to the Big Ball Broadcast, episode 110. My God, we've been going for a long time. We're almost like 4 years old. Can you believe that?
We started those years ago, and now here we are in 2009
at thebigballbroadcast.com.
Actually, one, two, three podcasts from now. Actually, it's going to be June 26th. That's going to be a big four-year celebration. I mean, we're like on the verge of that.
Holy crap. Yeah, yeah. Now, we just played a promo for my con appearances, but myself and actually Mark will be on hand at Anime Next. Steve, I you know you probably won't be able to make it, but we're actually doing a pre-recorded version of the Big Ball Broadcast as a panel at Anime Next in Somerset, New Jersey. It's going to be on Friday night, either at 6 p.m. or 7 p.m. We're shooting for a 90-minute runtime. Our guests include the con chair for Anime Next. We're also going to be speaking with Bill Rogers and Michelle Knotts, who are some New York VAs, as well as Toshi Yoshida, who was the dub producer for Gurren Lagann and Inuyasha. So we are going to have that again happening at Anime Next, a Big Ball Broadcast panel, which will actually just be a pre-recorded version of the podcast. We will post the audio on our website in the near future at thebigballbroadcast.com. And also, if not already, you can hear the Akon panel. I pre-recorded a panel there featuring Chris Patton and Wendy Powell, who are some voice actors from Funimation, Full Metal Alchemist. And we just talk about all sorts of geeky stuff. We talk about summer movies and, you know, the fans are chiming in with stuff. We're going to post that as well. So we're going to be doing that's something that we're trying to expand the brand, as it were, for Big Ball Broadcast, by getting it out there. And hopefully we'll be doing live shows from the convention scene in the coming year. And hopefully we can convince the con chairs and the staffs that, you know, Otherworld Steve and Mark really need to be there in person, and it's worth the extra airfare.
Yeah, I mean, there's a pretty good chance I'll be at a con in November with Kyle, and we'll see what we can do then in terms of broadcasting the BBB.
Yeah, yeah, that is going to be like incredible. I cannot wait for that. So if you just been skimming around here and you're going like, well, what else are you guys going to talk about? Okay, well, again, to catch you up to speed, went to E3. Amazing experience at the Los Angeles Convention Center. You know, seeing famous people like Olivia Munn, total hottie, you know, from G4. Watch them doing their thing. I saw Eliza Dushku, who was there. You know, she's from Dollhouse. She played Faith on Buffy. And she was there pimping a game that she's the lead voice in called Wet. Gotta love that title. I had some hands-on time with a lot of really cool games. And I have to refer, because I played so many, I have to go back to my Twitter page, twitter.com/KyleAbear. One game that I got my hands on was Ninja Gaiden Sigma. Now, this thing was like really, really cool. It had the squishiest sword sounds I think I've ever heard on a game. It was kind of funny. It almost took me out of the game because every sword hit against all these ninjas was just like gut-wrenchingly wet. And that's all I could say. It's like, well, another graphically pretty game, although the camera angles kept on getting a little bit screwy as I was going around, which is a problem I had with the first Ninja Gaiden game. Something that you guys have seen if you went to some different sci-fi websites is James Cameron's Avatar. I did not get to play the game. That was a special press-only event. But he had this huge mech, a full-size mecha thing, right there in the convention center. If you go to twitter.com/KyleAbear, I took a picture of this thing. It's gorgeous. It's really, really cool. James Cameron returning to sci-fi in IMAX 3D. Can't wait to check that out. We could chime in on this one, Steve. Dragon Ball Z Raging Blast. That's a game that I just dubbed, and of course the Japanese demo version was on display. I got to kick Vegeta through mountains. It was so fun.
That sounds like fun. Actually, as a lot of our listeners know, I get really excited when a new DBZ game comes out. I've still been playing some of the DBZ games on the PS2. I played Burst Limit on the 360, and now we have a really cool game coming, hopefully cool game coming out for the PlayStation 3 and the 360. Let's see what I got here on this. Developed by acclaimed game studio Spike, Dragon Ball Rising Blast calls over 70 characters, kick-ass, including transformations from the Dragon Ball Z tome to battle against each other through pivotal moments in the Dragon Ball Z series. Dragon Ball Z aficionados will be able to relive epic battles as their favorite heroes and villains from the series, and also experience alternate universe moments that were left out of the original anime and manga series. Again, for me, avid DBZ game collector slash player, so for a fact, I'll be picking this one up, probably on the 360.
Yeah, this will be on the PS3, but I will get the 360 one just because, you know, I want to do that online play. You know, that is just the thing to do, man. You know, it's a beautiful game. It looks to be easier than Burst Limit, I hope. Your Burst Limit was kind of difficult. At least it was for me. I don't know. I still prefer some of the old school Budokai stuff, you know?
Yeah, I prefer that too. My biggest complaint with Burst Limit coming out on the 360 was it was a nice visual game. It looked really pretty, but it played really boring, and that was kind of disappointing. It was a relatively short game, didn't have a big selection of characters, ended really early on in the Z saga. So I really want them to hit me with that. I mean, telling me 70 players, that's really on par to the ending numbers we saw in Budokai. So again, that makes me really excited.
Also on display at E3 was a Dragon Ball game. I didn't catch the name, unfortunately. It's out there. If you guys know it, type it. But it's a Dragon Ball game. You play as little Goku, and I voiced Ox King on there. I don't think Ox King is playable, but it's another brawler, but it's set in the Dragon Ball universe instead of DBZ.
That would be Dragon Ball Revenge of King Piccolo, which is coming out for the Wii, and says here in this little press release that it faithfully adapts the original storyline from the epic Dragon Ball saga with its unique comic charm and epic action adventure overtones, and taking place in the Red Ribbon encounters, players will assist Kid Goku as he journeys through his path of personal evolution, battling beasts, bandits, and martial art masters. Kid Goku will meet and befriend lifelong comrades and overcome formidable miscreants, including Red Ribbon Army, Emperor Pilaf, and the venerable King Piccolo. So I gotta ask you, Kyle, immediately it comes to mind, are you voicing General White in this one?
I think I am, actually. I'm trying to remember. I think I did do General White, and as well as Ox King for this. It goes back a few months. I actually did not fly to Texas. I was just sent to a studio in L.A., and we did what's called ISDN, a digital phone patch, where Chris Sabat directed me from Texas, and I just record directly into the Pro Tools system in a recording studio here, and then they email those files to Okratron 5000, the big dubbing studio for the DBZ games. And then that goes on to Atari, although Atari no longer has the DBZ license. It's actually gone to Bandai Namco.
Well, the thing with Atari is they're only Atari in name only. The original Atari that you and I grew up with went bankrupt, and this Atari stepped in and bought out the name, and I'm assuming the back catalog. I really can't complain for the most part. The only really, really, really bad experience I've had with the Z game to date is Sagas. That was just reprehensible. That was like, you know, the miscarriage of Dragon Ball Z games. But everything else has been playable and enjoyable, so I think I can go with that.
Yeah. It's pretty much, yeah, like you said, an abortion. It's like Fight Club. Do not talk about DBZ sagas. It just hurts. Just wow.
And then I guess there's a Namco Bandai game coming out for the Nintendo DS. I'm assuming that's DSi as well, called Dragon Ball Z Attack of the Saiyans. And for the first time in North America, fans of the series can enjoy an epic turn-based Dragon Ball Z experience. And you help Goku and his Earth Defense Force allies tackle the ever-increasing apocalyptic alien threat to the planet with martial arts action. And in addition to taking place within the Dragon Ball Z lore, Dragon Ball Z Attack of the Saiyans will feature numerous never-before-seen alternate storylines, which offer a new understanding of the Dragon Ball universe. That kind of seems to be a recurring theme with this these latter Dragon Ball Z games. Alternate universe, what a way to like really milk a franchise, because God knows the Z story is well beaten into our heads at this point.
Well, trust me, there's more alternate storylines in this new Raging Blast game. Don't you worry about it.
I'm not worried about it. I enjoy the gameplay thoroughly. It's just, you know, I guess they acknowledge at this point in time that everybody has been so thoroughly saturated with the storyline. You have to do something that kind of justifies continually cranking these games out.
Yeah. Now, something that I just came out of left center. It was the first thing that I played when I walked into E3 because I was just like giddy as a little schoolgirl is Toy Story Mania for the Wii. Now, anyone who's a Disney fan knows that you can come out to Disneyland and play this 3D shooter game. You're basically it's like a ring toss sort of game, but you fire the rings out of a gun. It's like a virtual 3D game. Incredibly, incredibly addictive and fun. So they have a Wii version of this coming out, and it's a lot of fun. And obviously, you don't have to stand in line for 45 minutes. Now, you do have to use the Wiimote, you know, instead of the gun, but it works extremely well. Nice graphic interface. It looks to be just like a direct port of the attraction at Disneyland. So I'm really excited about that one, believe it or not. And of course, Toy Story 3 has been teased and talked about before on the podcast. That thing's really happening. Apparently, there's a teaser trailer out if you go see Up in theaters. I have not seen the trailer yet, but I'm a big Toy Story fan, so can't wait to get my hands on that one. I may actually go out and buy that. I haven't bought a Wii game in probably a year. I think Super Mario Galaxy maybe have been the last one I got.
Yeah, again, I haven't touched the Wii in a while. I've been re-embracing the 360 as of late, and even the PS3. But I don't know. Toy Story, to me, just seems like a franchise that, you know, there was so much length to that hiatus, and to bring it back now, yeah, granted, the movie's going to come out, it's going to make assholes of money, game probably make assholes of money. For me, I'm a little too ADD. I don't want to wait, you know, 72 years for a follow-up to a hit franchise. You know, and I keep bitching and whining about how I'm really shocked beyond, even beyond disbelief, that Incredibles hasn't seen a sequel. I really don't know what's going on over at Pixar in those regards. But Toy Story, I'm kind of take it or leave it at this point, because there's a lot of great animated franchises coming out, and I think I kind of have a preference towards those. You know, I don't really want to wax nostalgic. It's kind of like, you know, Ghostbusters being revisited. Yeah, if you're really geeky and really passionate and you want to go and relive that, fine, but it's just that Hollywood mentality of attempting to reinvent all these franchises. Give me something new, give me something cool, give me something hit, give me something interesting, and if you're going to give me a sequel, make it a sequel to a kick-ass film or a kick-ass property.
Well, you know, you mentioned The Incredibles, which is also one of my favorite Pixar movies as well, up there with Toy Story. I was in the comic shop, and did you know that there's an Incredibles comic book out?
I did not. Who's publishing that?
I think it's Marvel.
Again, it seems too niche, a market, the comic market. Give us something in the mainstream media that's really cool, Incredibles. I don't know if, you know, they backpedaled because people actually died in that movie. Holy shit, you know? But it's like, hey, as video games have grown with the growing market, I really don't see a problem with animation growing with the growing market and allowing it to be mainstream. I think that's what Ken Moore is attempting to do with the Magnumforce movie, is to have entertainment that's animated in a CG fashion, but have it in a form that entertains adults. So, yeah, The Incredibles kind of push the adult edge. Do a sequel. Make it rated PG. You're still going to bank on it.
Totally. So, other things at E3 I got my grubby little hands on. We talked about Soul Calibur Broken Destiny. That was the name of the game, not just Soul Calibur PSP. It's called Broken Destiny. And again, Kratos, God of War 3, playable character. Can't go wrong there. I mean, is that a title you're going to pick up there? Because I know you're a huge God of War junkie.
I am a God of War junkie, but not to the point where, like, I pre-ordered a little big planet so I could walk around in the Kratos costume. But hell yeah. I mean, I've been very candid about that. The whole reason I picked up a PS3 was not even about Blu-ray. It was, this is in anticipation to God of War 3. And I got to say, it greatly saddens me that you didn't get to play it at E3, because I was just hoping to live vicariously through you. And it's like, oh man, this is just going to be like the game of the holiday season for me. That's intense. But no, I'm not that big a whore to pick up a game just to get a Kratos skin.
I really wanted to, man. I got there like at 10 a.m. as soon as they opened, and the line was still just unbearably long. And I said, well, I only have a 4-hour window at this convention. I could spend that 4 hours in line, or I could go play a bunch of games. And I opted to play a bunch of games because, you know, I don't know if you've read, and I'm sure you do because you're such a fan of God of War, but we're not going to see God of War 3 until 2010.
Oh, why did I keep thinking it was coming out this holiday season?
Apparently, they've just announced that it got bumped a little more. So, I mean, there was a playable level at least, you know, and they had a good dozen or more monitors all ready to go for this line, but it was still not enough to satisfy everyone's curiosity unfortunately. And no swag either. I really wanted to surprise you and say, I got a God of War t-shirt or a baseball cap or something, but they had nothing.
I was so hoping. What's been great for me up to this point, and I honestly don't know if it applies, but I've been a member of the PlayStation Underground for some time, and I've been a beta tester for Sony. So, you know, I get to beta God of War Chains of Olympus when it came out on the PSP, and that was a really great experience. I'd love to get an early copy of God of War 3 and be able to beta that. That'd just be, like, kick-ass. I think, you know, they just brought a unique angle to gameplay with some unique actual gameplay and some really nice cinematics and a captivating story. And, you know, of course, this is all going to be raved for the cactus when the feature film comes out, but I got no problem embracing it while it's going on now. And yeah, swag would have been sweet.
Raped with a cactus. Such lovely expressions heard only on the Big Bald Broadcast. Yay. Momo chimed in on our chat room and corrected me. It's not Marvel that has The Incredibles. It's Dark Horse Comics. A couple more things that I did check out. I've talked about Super Mario Brothers Wii. I think that was like probably one of the most fun titles I had. Another thing that a lot of people can't wait to get their hands on, Batman Arkham Asylum. I spent probably about 15 minutes on this. Very pretty, gorgeous, gorgeous graphics. And of course, great voice acting from Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill. And it felt a little sluggish, though. The only version that was playable was the PS3. And a little bit repetitive. You know, you're going around doing a little detective work, going through Arkham Asylum, and you keep on running into, you know, released inmates. It kind of, dare I say, reminded me of that god-awful Watchmen game, The End Is Nigh, that I did voices in. But all that aside, the gameplay was like, wow, that's all there is? I'm just going to go around just punching and fighting, and it does the slow-mo thing, the whole Zack Snyder, you know, freeze frame, slow motion, and then go back into regular motion sort of stuff for the attack moves. But again, a beautiful, beautiful game. I particularly like how they did Harley Quinn. She looks like Hot Topic gothic chick nightmare on crack acid. It's like really bizarre, but I don't know. Are you anxious to try the new Batman game?
I actually am. I've seen all the videos as they were posted, like on sites like IGN and whatever. It's a very unique way, again, like us, him and God of War, it's a very unique way to present that character. And it certainly follows in the vein of The Dark Knight, where it's a relatively dark and gritty game. You get the Joker taking over Arkham and Batman just going in and kicking ass. The gameplay for me, though, it seems very Metal Gear Solid. It seems that it's really, really, really focused on the stealth aspect. And then you have some really cool moves that you get to execute once you get up behind your opponent. I'm into more of the instant gratification. I just want to run around hauling ass, beating heads in, leaving red jello in piles behind me as I run across screen to screen. And it just doesn't seem that visceral for me with this game. But I do appreciate what they're doing. Like I said, just the concept that they're putting forward looks really badass. And some of the finishing moves are actually, you know, like I said, they're a lot more on the darker side. So I think people like you and I may be able to enjoy that. And look forward to a demo coming either to the PS3 or the 360.
Yeah, there is a really neat little detective mode. You hit a like L1 on the PS3 controller, and everyone turns like, you remember that scene in Total Recall at the airport when people walk through, they just suddenly, you just see nothing but their skeletons, that sort of thing. That's what everyone becomes. It's like this infrared ultraviolet sort of view that helps Batman like find objects and stuff. It's a cool little mode. And yeah, you know, the fight moves, the combos, they're really, really neat. Again, the PS3, you know, bless its soul. It's just ridden with these bugs left and right. I don't know if PS3 is an exclusive for this. I think it's coming out for 360, so I'll probably pick up the Xbox version. But I'm anxious to play more. And again, you know, beautiful, beautiful graphics and awesome voice work, which, of course, I geek out about being one myself.
This is exciting times. You know, it's always exciting when E3 rolls around, all the tentpole products coming out. It's kind of like E3 is what the summer movie time is for the movie industry. It's just you showcase your best and your brightest.
I can say that I did get to play as the Joker, because that's a PS3 exclusive character. And I honestly prefer playing as Batman. It was way slower, a lot more sluggish to play as Joker, even though you'd think, oh, I'm going to play as the villain because he's going to have all these cool moves and everything. Honestly, I had more fun playing as Batman. I am anxious to get some more hands-on time. My initial impression, because I am very ADD, you know, I definitely want to play it some more. And hopefully, like you said, Steve, we'll see that demo very, very soon on Xbox and PS3.
very soon is never soon enough. And like I said, I've been revisiting the PS3 and the Xbox recently, and I understand developers don't want to give away too much, but I've been really disappointed at how short so many of the demos are. You know, and again, I understand there's the tease value there, but I don't know. I like something a little more substantial in the demo, and I'll still go out and buy a game if it kicks ass.
Let's see here. Oh, Tracy's summation of how the hosts are on this show. Mark is so mean. He's Ren, Kyle's Stimpy, and Steve is just Steve?
I want clarification. I want to know exactly what that means. Actually, Tracy. I demand clarification.
Yeah, I don't know what... Steve, you're just Steve. Well, tonight I mean, you're drunk.
Yeah, which I guess for the podcast is just Steve, but it doesn't necessarily have any negative connotations, so I could probably run with that.
Yes. All right, we got one more story here on the Big Ball Broadcast, and if you are a Funimation One Piece fan, some interesting things went down. Here's Otherworld Steve to clarify.
This is a quote from an actual Funimation email to Ma saying, as anime fans know, Funimation Entertainment and Toei Animation had planned for the first ever online simulcast of the series One Piece tonight at that time at 9 o'clock p.m. Central Time, just 1 hour after it premieres on Japan's Fuji Television. Unfortunately, the last 24 hours we have determined that the Funimation servers were compromised, even though we employ strict security standards. An unknown individual accessed and posted episode 403 online, and as a direct result of this illegal act, all US and Canadian fans will be deprived of access to this great anime series in the immediate future. We will make every effort to locate and prosecute the perpetrators to the full extent of the law, and will provide updates regarding this most serious matter. An oh shit moment indeed.
Extreme oh shit. I think they pulled FMA for a day or two and they're freaking out. It's like, oh my god, we have pissed the Japanese off. They will never allow this to happen again. Thanks, otaku.
Freaking otaku spoiling all my fun. I don't know. It's kind of conspiratorial, I guess. You know, me always looking at the conspiracies, much like the big leak of Fox's X-Men Origins. You are under the impression anyway that it came from an internal source, and I'm kind of wondering if Funimation is unfortunately dealing with that same wrath, and I certainly hope that isn't the case, because it would kind of be a black eye on that company's reputation.
Yeah, let's see. In our chat room, Dante KC says, F that, it's not our fault that Funimation is pulling it. Like, well, they pulled a security maneuver. I mean, do you really blame them? I mean, it's some guy who wanted to obviously leak the episode and stir the pot. Ah, Dante says, no, it is Funimation's fault. Security is their responsibility. Interesting. Interesting perspective. Okay. How's that for conspiratorial, Steve?
Well, I agree. Security is their responsibility. I'm just wondering if it's just towing the PR line, like, oh shit, somebody on the inside leaked it, and or hey, maybe here's a conspiracy, they actually lost the rights to broadcast it the day after it airs in Japan, and they made up this bullshit story to cover it up.
Jeff in our chat room says, in Soviet Russia, Funimation leaks you.
That just made me feel really uncomfortable.
Spagian says, final thoughts of E3, can't wait for Assassin's Creed. Where the heck was Beyond Good and Evil 2 news from Ubisoft? Drake's Fortune 2, the next game for Team Ico, and watching Netflix with your friend on Xbox Live in a party. Well, thanks for bringing that to our attention. We can't cover everything. We try. But remember, there are other options. If you guys have things that you want us to talk about, you can email us during the week. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/BB Broadcast. And, of course, you can join us live for our live streaming show on Stickcam. All of this info coming up on the end credits. Thank you to all our callers. We had Kerbifer. We had Shannon, Bobcat Extreme, all from our chat room tonight. And a thanks, to Mark, an invaluable resource, helping us keep the show afloat, keeping us going, and taking our Skype calls, engineering the show. Thank you very, very much for all your help, Mark. You are a godsend. And Steve, thanks to you, because you are friggin' awesome. You guys do an amazing job every time that I'm away, which seems like every other week.
I know.
And yes, Mark wants us to plug the fact that the Big Ball broadcast will be at Anime Next on Friday nights. Check the program guide for time and location. We'll be doing a panel. We'll be pre-recording. We'll not be broadcasting live. There will not be a live show on the Stick Cam next Friday night, unfortunately. But we do have some bonus audio. We've got an interview with Kevin Connolly coming up. Kevin voiced Fury in Full Metal Alchemist in the near future for you to look forward to, as well as a pre-recorded Akon panel with myself and Chris Patton and Wendy Powell all talking about geek stuff. All this stuff will be coming very, very soon to thebigballbroadcast.com. So that is all the time we have. Thanks to everyone in our chat room, everyone's support, and all that fun stuff. Until next time, this is Kyle Hebert.
And this is Otherworld Steve.
See ya!
Check out www.thebigballbroadcast.com, the central hub for all the geeky news that you can use. There you'll find links to our Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, and blog pages. Catch up on all our past episodes at blog.thebigballbroadcast.com. Send your MP3 comments and emails to mel@thebigballbroadcast.com. You can also subscribe for free via iTunes to have new episodes downloaded automatically. Donations graciously accepted and appreciated. Transmission complete.